When I first started painting quite a few years ago, I started going to some classes, and it was run by this wonderful woman who was so positive. You know, she'd say things like, "That's great. That's really good. That's interesting. Have you tried this? Or maybe if you just did this, it might look a bit sort of like what you're trying to get to," or anything. She was just so positive. She wasn't negative about anything. And one of the early projects we had to do was to find an artist that we enjoyed, an artist that we liked, find a painting and to copy it. Now, I like Monet. I do like Monet. He's one of the French Impressionists. In fact, he was one of the founders of the French Impressionism. I do like him. And I found a picture of his called Waterloo Bridge. Do you know Waterloo Bridge? Sort of the bridge across the Thames. It's all very smoggy and absolutely beautiful. So I spent a couple of weeks doing this painting, and I got the brush strokes just right, and I kind of got the colours and at least in the right sort of spectrum of the rainbow, and I was really quite pleased with it, to be honest. And I took it to my parents because they've been encouraging me to get along to these art classes, and I showed my father. I've never forgotten to the day what he said. He looked at it. He raised one eyebrow, as he used to do, remember? Tilted his head and said, "That bridge would never stand up." I didn't paint bridges or buildings for many, many years afterwards. Now, it seems like wherever we turn, there are discouraging words. And it's not necessarily given cruelly or maliciously. My father was a draftsman, so he was very precise in his drawing, very technical, you know, everything had to be right. But often, discouragement is received because the person speaking doesn't consider how the other person's going to receive it or what they might make of it. You know, so often we will give discouragement because we're in our own little bubble and we're not considering other people at all. You know, it takes a lot of knowledge and skill to build a house, but it doesn't take long to knock it down. And it's the same with people. You can knock people down just like that. You ask Keith about learning to play guitar afterwards, not now. The Apostle Paul was a great encourager. Let me just read some of the words he wrote to his friends in Thessalonica. This is, if you want to follow it, it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." The word encourage means to give courage. what oxygen is to the body, encouragement is to the soul. Does anybody here have a nickname, or anybody want to own up to having a nickname, or anybody had a nickname in the past?
I was called Cuddles for years.
Cuddles, oh, lovely. Anybody else?
I've got two.
Yeah?
My mum's known as Miss Muffet by my uncle, and known as Bert, as in Bert and Ernie, by my friends.
Oh, right. Oh.
Susan used to have a nickname for me. I was called Jampot.
Janet used to have a nickname for me.
But it's, Jampot is JP, that was my initials, and she was Sausage Pie.
Yeah.
I was called Nathaniel.
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 So is that your complete name, or is your real name Nathaniel and people call you Nathan, or you Nathan?
My name's Nathan, but they call me Nathaniel.
They called you Nathaniel. Hey, right. Right. So here's a trivia question. What character in the New Testament was known better by his nickname than his real name?
Peter.
No. No. No, they all had their names changed, didn't they? Barnabas. His real name was Joseph. Did you not know that? Yeah. Do you know what Barnabas means? Son of encouragement. Yeah, that's what he was known as. He was known as son of encouragement. You know, when Paul first met the Lord, when he first met Jesus, the disciples in Jerusalem were skeptical of his conversion. And it was Barnabas who took Paul to them and encouraged them to see him as a brother. After all, Paul was the one that was persecuting the Christians. So Barnabas, the encourager, encouraged the leaders in Jerusalem to accept Paul. So Janet and I, our nicknames weren't really based on who we were, they were just based on our initials. So fortunately they're well and truly in the past. But for some of you, just hearing some of your nicknames, I'm going to do that now. Cuddles. Yeah, no, I think that's a good nickname. So if you were to be known by a nickname, what would you be known by now? Would it be a nice positive one, like Cuddles? Or would it be negative? Would you be known by, I don't know, your behaviours, your attitudes, the words you say? You know, people gravitate towards encouragers, don't they? Last week I told you about the Good News for Swindon prayer meeting and the gentleman that was praying with power and authority, and I just wanted to be where he was praying. So every time we got into groups, I made sure I was in his group, because his praying, his whole demeanour was kind of drawing you in, encouraging you into prayer. People who are encouragers, they draw people in, they give life to the rest. William Arthur Ward wrote, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticise me, I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." It takes courage to encourage. This passage that we've just read, we see three statements that Paul made to these struggling believers. These were encouraging words. And the first one, he said to them, in your struggling, don't give up. Paul knew these believers were facing trials. And in fact, in verses 2 and 3, he says, "We sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials." The Greek word here used for encourage is the same word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. The word means to come alongside someone and speak to them. Come alongside and speak to them. Life's full of trials and tribulations. And you know full well that Christians aren't immune. In fact, Paul had predicted these believers would be persecuted. You know, when people go through tough times, God wants us to come alongside them. I remember when I first started driving, which was a few years ago now, sometimes you'd get in the car, put the key in the ignition, and that dates me, doesn't it? And nothing would happen. Why? The battery was flat. The battery was flat. So my father, great DIY fixer, a bit like Keith Tredgett. If you've got anything that you need doing, he was the man to go to. He had some jump leads. Do you know what jump leads are?
Yeah.
Jump leads.
Still got some,
yeah. Actually, I think we have as well, haven't we?
Yes.
Jump leads. So what you do is you get a member of the family or a friend or a neighbour to come along with their car, turn the engine on, and you'd fix the leads from their battery into your dead battery. And they would give you some power. Yeah, they'd encourage your battery. They'd give you some power. Just got a video here that as I was thinking of this, this just came to mind. And I just love this video anyway. But I just thought we'd just watch this as well to show about coming alongside and encouraging. Thanks, Jenny. That was Derek Redman in the 92 Olympics. What I love about that is when his dad comes along to help. Derek was determined he was going to get to the end of the course, but his dad comes to help him. And not only does he help him, he fends off, pushes away the officials who want to get him out of the way. So he was helping him, and he was encouraging him by helping him there. Satan wants to stop us. He wants us to give up. When things get rough, he's desperate for us to stop. You know, perhaps right now you're going through a difficult time, and maybe nobody knows or understands what you're facing. But you're struggling and you're getting tired. I want to encourage you today. Winston Churchill spoke these words during some of the most difficult days of World War II. Never give in. Never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. But here's more encouragement from someone much more important than Winston Churchill. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Will you have the courage to encourage? Will you ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind someone today who's struggling right now? Someone who needs to be encouraged? Will you make a commitment to walk alongside them? Maybe put a hand on their shoulder or call or write to them. Say something like, "I know you're going through a tough time, but I care for you. Hang on in there. I want to encourage you. Hang on in there." The second thing that Paul says in this letter is, in your isolation, know that I am praying for you. One of the best ways to encourage someone is to tell them you're thankful for them. You know, Paul modelled his encouragement when he wrote in verse 9, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" Sometimes people feel alone and unappreciated. You can encourage them just by thanking them. People need us to tell them that we're thankful for them. Some practical ways of expressing gratitude to someone. Share a specific example of something they did for you and how it made a difference in your life. Do something little but thoughtful, like clearing up the dishes. Offer to do something you know they don't enjoy. Maybe like taking out the rubbish or mowing the lawn. Sorry, these aren't all things that I think you should be doing for me, by the way. Oh, right, okay.
Keeps making notes.
Tell them you're available if they have anything they want to talk about. Give them a small gift that you think they'd enjoy and let them know specifically why you want them to have it. Maureen's a great example of that, isn't she, when she tells us about her little hearts and how she's given them to people. Compliment them on a skill or a strength or a talent that you admire in them. Give them a long, friendly hug, or if they don't like hugs, put a hand on the shoulder or shake their hands or something. Look them in the eyes as you speak to them and say something like, "You make the world a better place." That might come over a little bit corny. You can think of your own words, but you know, look at people in the eyes. When you look at somebody in the eyes, then they know that they're talking, you're talking right to them. Ask the Holy Spirit right now to bring something to mind that you're thankful for. Just think about the people that are here this morning. And after the service, as we're having coffee, go and say to them, "I am so grateful, I am so thankful for you, for this, that or the other." Let's encourage one another. And thirdly, Paul says, in your weakness, know I'm praying for you. In your weakness, know I'm praying for you. Not only did he tell them not to give up during their trials and that he was thankful for them, he also encouraged them by telling them he was praying for them. In verse 10, he wrote, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." When we pray for others, it's called intercessory prayer. Do you pray for other people? Do you pray more for other people than you do for your needs and what you want and your comforts and your life? We probably spend too much time on ourselves, even if we do pray for others. We're probably more concerned about our own well-being and our own comforts. Paul not only told them he was praying for them, he even wrote out the content of the prayer he was making on their behalf. And it is a great prayer to pray, one that you can pray for others. This is what he says: "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." That's chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Imogen, our daughter, has been learning scripture. She had a week away at an interns conference, and they had to read the whole of Ephesians twice a day, not just a chapter, the whole of Ephesians twice a day. And they were encouraged to learn big chunks of scripture. So she's learning, she's bringing to mind these big chunks of scripture. She's learnt the whole of Psalm 1, she's learnt a whole chunk from Ephesians, not the whole of Ephesians, but a big chunk of it. But hey, how about just learning these three verses, 11, 12, 13, that you could use as you pray for people, for other people? It's not much to ask, is it? Three verses. We can be a real source of encouragement to others. We tell them we're praying for them, and actually to make sure that we are praying for them, not just tell them that we're praying for them. And notice the three things in this prayer that Paul asked God to do. Firstly, he's asking the Lord to fill you with his love. You know, the mark of a true disciple isn't a big Bible. It isn't a cross around the neck. Jesus said the world would recognize his disciples by our love, by our love. Remember, these Christians were being persecuted. You know, Paul was praying that they would love their enemies as much as they would love one another. They would love their enemies as much as they would love one another. That's a big ask. It needs a big God to enable us to do things like that. And secondly, he's asking the Lord to strengthen their hearts. You know, in the struggles of life, we sometimes get weak and weary. And, you know, we aren't so much physically drained, although some of us are physically drained as well, but there's that emotional draining. And that's why it's important for us to pray to God to strengthen the hearts of people who are hurting. We need to look after our own hearts too. And if you haven't got a copy of Stephen's book yet, come and see him afterwards. And have you got any left? You might need to reserve it for the next printing.
Five left out of 100.
Five! If you haven't got it yet, you need to come and see him. Look after your heart and pray that God looks after their hearts too. And thirdly, Paul was praying, "I'm asking the Lord to make you ready for his return. Make you ready for his return." The whole theme of this letter to the Thessalonians is the return of Jesus. We see the most vivid description of the return of Christ in the Bible is in the next chapter. So come next week and hear some of that. Paul expected Jesus to return in his lifetime. He talked about being in the end times, the last days. If those were the last days, we must surely be living in the last of the last days. Yes. Yes. Do you have the courage to encourage? Maybe you've been sat there getting more and more frustrated, thinking, "I need someone to encourage me." What does a boomerang do?
Comes back.
For those scientists out there, a boomerang has two or more airfoil wings arranged so that the spinning creates unbalanced aerodynamic forces that curve its path so that it travels in an ellipse, returning to its point of origin when thrown correctly. Yeah, it comes back, basically. Encouragement is like a boomerang. You throw it and it comes back. And anybody ever tried throwing a boomerang? Takes a bit of practice, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
It takes a bit of practice. We need to practice being encouragers. We need to practice finding that. So find someone who needs encouragement. If you need encouragement, find somebody else who needs encouragement. Encourage them. Let your encouragement fly. And then get ready to catch it, because it'll come back to you. If you want to be encouraged, be an encourager. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So how much encouragement do you want? Huh? If you don't want much, well, then you don't have to give out much. But if you want to be greatly encouraged, then find ways of encouraging not only your brothers and sisters here, but whoever you meet. The more encouragement you give, the more you'll receive. There's great power in encouragement. Why? Because it's allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to flow through us, so that we're ready and needing to be filled afresh. It's His power in us, through us, and out of us. We need to be encouragers. We need to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to see who we can encourage this morning before we leave this place. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to walk alongside us, to encourage us to persevere, to affirm us in your love and purpose. Help us to be proactive in seeking how we can be an encouragement to someone else, to show the love of Jesus in action, to respond to the blessing that we have received and the blessings that are to come. May we be known as your disciples who love one another, who are eagerly awaiting the return of your Son, whose words and actions bring the light of your glory into wherever we find ourselves. Amen.